Chris Mack in for Nick Costos on You Better You Bet today here on Westwood One Sports. Always inside the Westwood One Sports app as well. Top of the hour, I cry some more about the Steelers, and we'll try to get me through an emotional morning after very little sleep. But I got to pivot away from the NFL for just a bit to talk college ball with our guy Brooks Austin of the Film Guy Network on YouTube, recruiting director at SI as well. Follow him on social media, please, at Brooks Austin BA. Morning, Brooks. How you doing? How's the coffee going down?
Hey, look, man, it's going down all right. It's going down all right this morning. Everybody tries their new things in January. We were just talking before the break. I'm doing the black coffee thing. It just feels torturous. It feels like self-punishment. But you know what? The best things in life require a little bit of discipline. So here's to it this morning.
Cheers. Is there any way? Give me a way the Miami Hurricanes make this a game against Indiana.
Why are we doing this? I don't want to do this. It's weird like that. This Miami, look, I know what the line is. It's 9 points. Like, mm-hmm. I know everybody expects Miami expects Indiana to control the football game because they've seen what Indiana has done the first two playoff matchups, right? They thumped Alabama and they thumped Oregon. And everybody expects them to control this football game so much so that we're doing the how do they have a chance? How do they get? I mean, guys, they have a chance by shrinking the football game, running the ball, and controlling possession. They have a chance. They have more than a chance, by the way, in my opinion, because they have a really, really good defense as well, does Miami. And they're playing really, really good football at this point. Do I expect them to win the football game? I have no idea. I haven't picked the football game yet. But, man, they're not a bad football team. I know Indiana's great. I don't know Indiana's played really, really well. I also think there's this, like, really weird thing about Miami where – no, I don't think anybody expected them to beat Texas A&M on the road, and then they did mm-hmm. that. And I know there wasn't a soul, including Vegas, there wasn't a soul picking Miami to beat Ohio State, and they controlled that football game for four quarters. And then all of a sudden they become like, oh, does Ole Miss have a chance against them in the Fiesta Bowl? And now they're back to the woe is me, how does little old Miami figure out this football game? I think all that is noise. You know what I'm saying? At this point, I think we could talk about how do we actually find ways to win the football game as a team. And if you're going to beat Indiana, you got to play clean for four quarters. You cannot have moments of stagnation. You cannot have moments of self-inflicted wounds. You cannot have these things. You have to execute for the 70 snaps that they may allow you to have. This is a weird operation that Indiana's got going on because – and I say weird because in the history of college football, if you don't have the talent, if you don't have the quote-unquote blue chippers, if you're doing it through the portal, if you're doing it through restacking and rebuilding your roster every single year, normally you have to have some type of schematic advantage. You have to get some type of math tilt, right? Like in basketball, it's, oh, we're undersized guard play. Okay, we got to shoot 40% and lot from three to overcome the math, right? Same thing in football. We got to take a lot of snaps. We got to burn a lot of plays. We got to get a lot of opportunities. That's not what Indiana does. Indiana has not taken 70 offensive snaps since the Penn State football game. They want to take 60 snaps. They want to grind it out. They want to get into a bunch of third and twos, and they want to box your lights out with execution. So that's where Miami's got to play, all right? Miami's got to play really, really well and sound in the execution department. And for the most part, I think they've done so. They've played 12 quarters in the college football playoff. And I think for 10 of those, they've played really, really clean football.
So is the blueprint, can the A&M blueprint work against Indiana? I guess that would be the next question from there. Because I don't think Indiana is going to be as reckless as A&M was at times, obviously, as you just pointed out. They want to out-responsible you, if that's a thing. Can Miami out-responsible Indiana, as you're talking about here, and are both of them just going to sit there and stare at each other and wait for the other one to blink?
So what scares me about the matchup from Miami's standpoint, and I can understand what Vegas is looking at other than expecting, and the line, expecting people to just expect Indiana to roll, I think is why that line was set the way it was. But two things concern me. One, Indiana has been explosive versus everybody in the green area. Like the moment they get the ball into plus territory, Charlie Beckard and Surratt are due for a 35-yard explosive. Like we saw it against Oregon, you saw it against Bama. They've done it all year. They did it against Ohio State on 3rd-and-2 to ice that football game in the Big Ten. So they're bound to be, and when I talk about explosive, I'm talking about 45-yard chunks, 40-yard chunks downfield when they find man-to-man coverage because inevitably they force it. So that concerns me. It doesn't really matter how good you are at coverage either. Like we learned that in the Fiesta Bowl. I didn't feel as if, apart from the Charlie Beckard touchdown that put them up 21-3, I did not think there was a single solitary moment where it was like, dang, that corner got beat like you know what. Like that corner is nowhere near him. No. It's either back shoulder fades or like tremendous ball placement by the quarterback in Mendoza. So that right there worries me about anybody's matchup against this unit because those receivers are NFL bound and the quarterback's NFL bound. No matter how good you are at defensive back, you're going to have problems with that. The other thing that worries me about Miami is that they weren't exactly clean for four quarters. I mentioned 10 of 12 quarters. They've played really, really clean football. Two of those came in their most recent football game, from my opinion. Like, they were bad from a protection standpoint. It's a great offensive line, and they were bad. For my money, bad at the offensive line protection standpoint in pass protection against an Ole Miss unit that, going into the game, I was like, on paper, they should be giving Carson Beck all the time in the world. My primary concern was, how will Ole Miss stop Miami? Look at this offensive line. I know what Ole Miss's defensive line is. They're pretty decent in the run game, and interiorly they're really good, but they don't have dominant, like, twitchy rusher or, like, great rushers, and I thought Miami was going to be fine. Nope. They, like, Carson Beck had to play hot most of the football game and was under pressure. And the way they were doing it was twist and stunts and chaos. Hey, buddy, that's what we got to play on Monday night. Like, that's what Indiana is. Indiana is not one of these, like, I got a bunch of Jimmies and Joes, I'm going to beat you. No. They beat you with X's and O's. They beat you with chaos. They beat you with confusion. So that concerns me as well about this matchup for Miami. But they can make this a 30-tote Mark Fletcher football game. They can do that. If you haven't seen this Miami running back, you're going to find out. He's 6'2 and a half, 230 pounds, and he runs downhill.
Yeah, you can't miss him. He's like a bowling ball covered in razor blades. Have fun trying to tackle the dude. Brooks Austin, the Film Guy Network on YouTube, recruiting director at SI. Follow him on social media. Great stuff. He's going to do a film breakdown as soon as he's done talking to us, and he's going to get it posted later, and you're going to be smarter for having watched it. Supreme ball knower at Brooks Austin, BA, here on You Better You Bet. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos. So how does Indiana force Carson Beck to devolve back into late-stage Georgia Carson Beck and to make the mistakes mentally that he has not made in games of consequence down the stretch for Miami?
For me, like when Carson makes mistakes, they're like, I got it, too aggressive mistakes. Like you have to make him feel like he has to play outside of himself in order to win the football game. That's the only time I've ever seen him be a problem. Like, honest to God, I think the kid's thrown 22 interceptions in the last 2 years. I think 15 of them we could sit there and go, probably not on the quarterback. Honest to God, like 7 of the 12 or 8 of the 12 or whatever it was last year at Georgia were improper depth of wide receivers, bad breaks, like tips at the line of scrimmage, or just like things that he cannot control. For example, he threw a pick against Alabama where the wide receiver is supposed to be in a screen route. He is not. Like he's busting out there with a missed execution, missed assignment. Like, those types of things aren't on the quarterback. I've always felt like this kid, unless you make him feel, like I said, like he's got to score 45 points today, he normally plays within himself. He normally protects the football. You will not, like, there's no trick in him normally. There's no, you know, you might get him to force a ball into a tight window that gets tipped and then intercepted. That's how you get him to turn it over. The interception he had against Ole Miss, not on the quarterback. Now, the other things that he did, I worry me sometimes. Like he got Malachi Toney killed early in the football game. He got a tight end killed early in the football game because he sees tight windows as I can put it there. Results be damned. You know what I mean? Like sometimes he does that because sometimes the game of football requires that. You know, I need you to make a play just as much as you need me to make one as a quarterback. So Miami's wide receivers, to their credit, they made every single one of them. Well, the Lofton kid, the tight end, had an incredible catch over the middle. Tony had an incredible catch over the middle. The Marion Brown kid showed up out of nowhere for the biggest game of his career in that Fiesta Bowl. So I think that's the – a lot of people count Miami out. They are a championship-caliber football team, in my opinion, because of what college football requires you to do. What college football requires you to do is when your starting corner, number six, gets a targeting penalty and is out for the game, and we can debate whether or not it was a real targeting penalty, and then you got to throw a true freshman corner out there that was a three-star out of Louisiana, and it's game 15 at this point. That kid better be ready to play. Number 16 goes in there and goes bump and run man-to-man coverage with Jabron Stribling, who has won games for Ole Miss at this point this year, and breaks a ball up, gets off the field, gives the offense the ball back, and we go win a football game. That's what college football is, because these rosters and numbers are tighter than ever nowadays, and when the starter goes down, the backup better be ready to go with no drop-off.
Brooks, we only got about a minute here, so I'm going to ask you. Fernando Mendoza is probably going to go first overall. Is he first overall in an NFL draft any other year or just this year?
I don't know. Other years, there's probably a guy that goes one. Here's what scares me about him. He came from a system at Cal that was probably 22% RPO. He's in a system now at Indiana that is 25% RPO. We don't RPO on the Sunday League. We just don't. The line of scrimmage rules are different. The ability to get down the field are different. So a quarter of our plays are very much so reading leverage of defenders and a single solitary defender, right? And then making an accurate throw. We're about to take 90% of our snaps on Sunday with full field progressions. I'm not saying he can't do it, because I've heard him talk the sport. I've heard him talk defense. He's usually really smart. But we haven't seen him do it at a really, really high rate, at a consistent rate. So that would concern me, but he's certainly talented. He's really, really deadly accurate with the football. So if you're accurate and you're like a plus athlete, which he is, I think he's a good enough athlete, you'll be fine eventually. But we got to lean on a lot of things that we don't do a lot of right now. That's all I would say about him.
Brooks, great stuff, man. Love the breakdowns. Going to look for more of them leading up to Monday night's game between Miami and Indiana. The Film Guy Network on YouTube, recruiting director at SI. Follow him on social media at Brooks Austin, BA. Enjoy the last few sips of coffee and go get after it, brother. Thank you.
Y'all have a good one.
Brooks Austin here on You Better You Bet. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos today on Westwood One Sports. I want to clip, you know, when I do a solo show, I wrap it up towards the end of the show with the three stars of the day. What he had to say about Mark Fletcher Jr. there belongs in the three stars at the end of the show. That's what's getting lost, I think, in all of this Miami-Indiana talk, is Indiana's defense is damn good. But if Mark Fletcher starts to roll and gets going downhill, like I said, bowling ball covered in razor blades, it changes everything for this game and how Miami can beat Indiana. Coming up, how much are they willing to change in Pittsburgh, if at all? Tough decisions on the table for the Pittsburgh Steelers this offseason. We get into it next. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.